America's reckoning with its racist history has found an unlikely arena: auto racing. On Sunday, Bubba Wallace found a noose in his team's garage. He's the only black driver on NASCAR's top circuit, and he'd called for a ban on Confederate flags from NASCAR events. Wallace has said he doesn't see the Confederate flag much, as he drives at over 200 miles an hour. But for many years, it was often visible at NASCAR races, even on the tops of cars. Daniel Pierce is a professor at the University of North Carolina, Asheville, and a NASCAR historian. Welcome.
Thank you.
So there's been an association for a while between the Confederate flag and NASCAR racing. Where'd that come from?
Well, of course, NASCAR's roots are in the South, particularly the Piedmont South, Virginia and North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia and Alabama. And so the Confederate flag was part of life in that part of the South as NASCAR's beginning in the late 40s, particularly when the civil rights movement comes into its own in the 50s. You begin to see more Confederate flags in the region and at NASCAR events, particularly certain tracks. Darlington Raceway in South Carolina is one that has a long association with the Confederate flag. One of their races was the Rebel 300. By the early 60s, Darlington has a person in a Confederate uniform with a big Rebel flag, and the winner of the race would stop at the start-finish line. He and then Johnny Reb, as they called him, would get on the hood of the car, and then they would do a parade lap around the track with him waving this Confederate flag.
A lot of people will think of the Dukes of Hazzard, which aired on CBS for 7 seasons. The General Lee Dodge car was beloved and, of course, brandished the Confederate flag. What did it mean for them at that time?
Yeah, I think at that point you're getting the morphing of the image in some ways. It's also an era where you're getting things like, Lynyrd Skynyrd and Sweet Home Alabama. And so I think at that point it's more of a image of the outlaw, of the person who defies authority and thumbs their noses at Boss Hogg or whoever.
NASCAR, as you know, is a sport that was born out of rebellion during the Prohibition era. Describe, if you would, the tie between bootlegging and race car driving that goes back, as I understand it, to the 30s.
In those early days, you have people like Lloyd C. showing up at races at Lakewood Speedway in Atlanta. Lloyd C. is a 19-year-old. No one's heard of him. And he comes to his first race and he wins the race, which is a big race. No one really knows who this guy is. Well, the next day there's a column that says, well, no one at the racetrack really knew who Lloyd C. was, but the Atlanta police sure did. He made his living, going between Atlanta and Dawson County, Georgia, hauling liquor. And Lloyd C. really kind of begins a wave of the most successful stock car drivers from the very beginning, were almost universally had their first high-speed driving experience behind the car of a V8 Ford hauling liquor on a curvy road.
And of course, NASCAR has moved to ban the Confederate flag now. That was followed, as we know, by a noose being found in Bubba Wallace's garage. NASCAR drivers and staff responded to that with a show of support for Wallace. How important is this moment for the sport?
Of all the things that have happened, two things. Escorting Bubba Wallace down pit road, that spoke volumes, I think, to the public. The other thing I think was really important was Richard Petty very publicly making a statement in support of Bubba Wallace. Of course, Bubba Wallace is his driver and he already supported him. But again, I think those were incredibly positive developments in the last few days.
Daniel Pierce is a professor at the University of North Carolina, Asheville, and a NASCAR historian. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, Sarah.